Want to tell y'all again, thank you for this food y'all giving us, taking care of our, taking care of us, you know, letting us be housed. There's pastors I invited here, several of them are here. Thank you. Thank y'all. Now let's go to work here. Turn back over, if you will, to Ezekiel 22. Where was that last night? I want Ms. Hogan to stand up again, please. Mrs. Hogan, there she is. Look at her nice little purple suit on. Yeah, huh? Yeah. Holy Ghost. So I was over there in Alabama preaching, and this woman was mad at me, but it wasn't because of my, I was preaching too hard. It's because she had impacted teeth. They were infected. What do you call that? Abscessed, impacted stuff. That really, I had one of them teeth that way one time. Boy, that's hard on you. And we laid hands on her, my wife and I did, and she got knocked out, and we was down yonder eating this Greek food. I had never eaten none, hardly, and they had a Greek chef back in there. Boy, it was good. I tell you right now, I have to admit it was pretty good food. And that lady come down in there, and she wasn't mad anymore, and she was healed, okay? And she went to the doctor and found out that those two teeth of hers that were impacted and abscessed, the abscess was gone, the poison was gone, and she had two brand new gold teeth in her mouth. That's pretty nice, huh? Come on, Holy Ghost. Come on, Holy Ghost. I'm in pretty good shape as far as getting to see miracles here. You get osteoporosis, you get Lyme disease, you get glaucoma, you get heart disease, you get lung and liver, incurable diseases healed. You get AIDS healed. I'm getting to see these things are tremendous. These people are in severe pains in the prayer lines. All these acute things, and there's words I can't pronounce. They tell me what they are. And you know, I'm really blessed about it. There's people with broken backs. They come up with these in wheelchairs. They come up with these braces on, and God just these fused backs, and they just get brand new. A man was in he had been in a car wreck, got his leg crushed. And he had these pins, these stainless steel rods and things in his leg. He's a pilot for Delta, and he had the long flights, head captain, and he went through the airport and didn't set the machine off again, and he went over and told the police that the machine was broke. Because he had his paper from the doctor approved, that's what he had to do every time, show him that he had these things in his legs. He knew all these police too. He pulled them all over there, and they got these three wands going all over them and running back and forth through those machines, and he telling them all their stuff's broke. And it wasn't broke. He come back from overseas and went to his doctor, the doctor that had put that stuff in there, and come to find out he had bones back in there and ligaments and tendons. And all that steel was gone. God took the steel and replaced it with natural bones. And so, yeah. There's just thousands of these things going on everywhere. All over the world, it's happening everywhere, everywhere. And I'm here talking hard to you because I want you to get out of a stupor. I want you to wake up. I want you to understand that you're in a glutton of the best teaching in the world. You have the best. And it's not wrong for you to have it. It's wrong for you to misuse it. Well, God will take it and give it to somebody that will use it right. And y'all are good folks. I tell you, sorry about them beans and rice. Son, look, I tell you, we don't get that kind of cooking. We do get beans and rice every day, nearly. But this is different here. And it's good. It was good. I'm serious. You did do good. And look here, I am just lit up. I'm sitting over there in that room, and my wife's there, and I'm just preaching to her all evening. She's just being nice. Yeah, yeah. But I want you to look at verse 26. We'll start right where we started last night. Ezekiel 22:26. We'll read this. This is in the Amplified. Most of them verses I'm going to do are in the Amplified tonight. Her priests have done violent to my law and have profaned my holy thing. They have made no distinction between the sacred and the secular. Okay, priests of God. I'm telling you right now, you're not going to be able to cry because you didn't have an example to follow. I know this man's life. I know his family. Brother Rod, I'm talking about. Brother Jerry, I know these people, the men that I work with. We rub each other hard all the time. It's always causing trouble. And I mean, we're tough. We're tough. You hear me? But I'm telling you, we're walking down the right road. And you need to be taught the difference between the sacred and the secular. And you need people that love you enough. See, I'm considered, because God's blessing me so much now that I just run roughshod over people. That is a lie. I don't have to come here. You hear me? I want to come here. I'm glad you let me come here. And I'm here to tell you the truth, because I want to. Because I love you as a person, as a church. Do you hear me? You need to be taught the difference. Because we can make a difference. We can go, you should have seen that preacher up there, Sean J., y'all help me with that, Ecomundi. It's right on the Baltic Sea. It's a little bitty work going on up there. The guy was some kind of engineer, right? Huh? Software engineer, set up down in southern western Germany, going to be a multimillionaire. He uproots his whole family, goes up there, and he's German, and he's in Germany, and there ain't no churches. And so I'm going up there, and we're going to help him. And these people were weeping because I would say, come and get born again. And they were just flocking down there and getting born again. These are ex-communists. These are people that have never had an opportunity at the gospel. And we got to give it to them. They need the opportunity to say yes to Jesus. But if you don't yourself know the difference in the secular and the sacred, what are you going to give them? Brother Rod, if you're teaching these people one to one, and that's, I'm good with that. You know I am. I believe in multiplication of the church. You can do that every month here if people would really get a hold of what you're saying. I know that, I'm telling you, you wouldn't build this, you could build by all acreage you want to, you'd never build it big enough. But we're not going to get the job done, but if we can't distinguish ourselves between the worldly and the holy oracles of God's power. And we got to not only be those people, we got to train others to be that way. And present them holy and alive to God. It says, verse 39, I saw a man among them who would build up a wall and stand in the gap. This is in Amplified also. But I didn't find one. Well, I'm going to be that person. I'm going to stand. Period. And there's good men around. They're awesome men. They're Holy Ghost anointed fellows. But they're compromising. They're leaning on the secular instead of the sacred. And we are not going to get the power of God doing that. It won't come. If you fill this house up, but you are secular minded, you are useless. You need to be holy. We need to love Jesus. All right. We need to stay contrite and broken. I'm going to show you something that Ezekiel did. I'll tell you, as Ezekiel got conquered and things around. Big, these massive armies came through and tore up his playhouse and his ministry and everything else. And he was prophetic and he was speaking the voice of God. But it didn't stop the armies because God's ordained or a will happen regardless of what you say about it. And but he figured something out. I haven't got it all sorted out yet. I'm still working on this. I told you all that last night. I don't know the time frame exactly. You theologians can have to throw in and help me out a little. But there's something going on here. Turn over to 25 here. Now we're going to skip through this pretty quick. Because I want something. I want something out of you. I want you to step towards something tonight. Me too. We're going to do it together. I'm happy about God letting our ministry raise the dead and things He's doing. Tomorrow night I want Brother Ron to say something. You know, Brother Ron, I'm going to talk about him a little bit tomorrow night, but how many of y'all raised some dead down there? I forgot again. About five. They got about five folks raised from the dead down there in South Mexico. And you know, you got to start somewhere. You, first of all, you have to understand that you can do it. It is the will of God. But the only way you're going to even get that accomplished is to understand that you got to be sacred and holy before God and not secular. And look over here. Now I'm going to try to do this calmly as I can. And that ain't very calm to y'all. Ms. Hogan gets asked nearly every day of our life, how do you live with him? And she tells them every time, that fella's normal. Y'all are weird. But the first time that this phrase, put this in Amplified if you can. I think they're telling me you had it up there in Ezekiel 25:7. I'm going to go through these a little bit faster than I normally do. There's a bunch of ground to cover and I want to get it out. It's just doggone on fire inside of me. And it's coming out! Ha! Verse 7 and Amplified in Ezekiel 25 says, therefore, behold, I have stretched out my hand against you. Now I'm telling you, heaven is disappointed. Heaven does not want you disobedient. Heaven does not want you disloyal, dysfunctional, and you don't have the right to be a chump. You can't be you. It's not okay. You've got to be Jesus. The world needs Jesus. We don't want you. We don't like you. We like Jesus. Jesus is good. You're bad. It says right here. And my hand, and we'll hand over for a prey and a spoil to the nations. Is that what you're really wanting? Do you want to be a spoil for the nation? Israel didn't believe him. They had it made in the shade, drinking lemonade. But heaven says, I will cut you off from the people and will cause you to perish and be lost out of the countries. I will destroy you. Then, I'm telling you prophetically by the Holy Ghost, you have got to recognize You have got to realize who you are in Jesus, how He's raised this nation up, why He's raised this nation up, and it's not to be a dominant world power to control all the land. It's to dominate the power of hell. Then you will know and understand and realize, oh my goodness, oh Ms. Hogan, I'm on fire. Oh boy, that I am the Lord, the sovereign ruler. This is the first time. Here's what He says. Who calls you forth to loyalty and obedient service. You think you have rights. You've got to serve Jesus. You have got to be loyal to the Holy Ghost. You've got to give up your lust. You have got to give up your self-willed attitudes, your complacency. There's an older pastor I was with in Spain. From the time I got in his presence, he's been working in Spain for 37 years, long time. And his church is about 350 people. But his influence is in about another 100 churches. All right. From the time I got there, he was asking me theological, what's that other word? Doctrinal questions. From the time I arrived in his presence, he wanted to know, because he's got a plan. He found himself a tool. Me. And he wants to use me to get Spain. He thinks we can. I think he's right. So he wanted to know if I had the right theology. So he asked me dozens of doctrinal questions. It impressed fire out of me. I don't get that kind of grilling very often anymore. And he was just on me, boy. Because he done spent his whole life putting this foundation out there that's ready to take Spain. And he wants to use us as gunners. And I'm going to let him. And we're going for it. He said, there is a revival taking place in the Canary Islands. And you're going. And he had his paper and his pencil in his hand. Give me some dates. I said, my schedule don't allow it. Brother Hogan, dates. I don't have any. Brother Hogan, dates. All right, let me look at it. I can't. Brother Hogan, I need dates next year, please. So I had to give him some dates. They believe. They have found some loyal people. See? You hear me? They think they have found people obedient to Jesus who can change nations. And I know that's who I'm looking at. You hear me? I know that you can. The problem is you think you have a will. Your will is to bow to the Holy Ghost. Turn the page. Well, turn it mine. It might not be yours. Verse 11. Same chapter. I will execute judgment and punishments. Listen to what the words he's using. You don't want God to turn on you. You is a nation! And you're sitting there going, well, I'm just one person. Yes, you are. Every revival ever recorded started with one person getting enough and bowing to the Holy Ghost and praying until God changed it. What is enough? How can it be that so many people want judgment and punishment? That confuses me a little bit. They shall know, understand, and realize that I am the sovereign Lord, the Lord, the sovereign ruler who calls forth loyalty and obedient service. You see, that's the second time that said that. Well, let's just keep going and see how many times it says it. I want you to understand that the Holy Ghost has spoke something to me about obedience, service, and loyalty. I am a loyal person. And I like it. 26, verse 6. Amplified. Tyre's daughter, the towns, villages on the mainland in the level place shall be slain by the sword. Is that what you're looking for? You're looking for your towns and villages to be slain by the sword for judgment and persecution. Is that what you want? Please talk to me. I know it's not what you want. I know you want the life to go on like it is. That's why you sweat bullets and try to keep things and politicians the way you want them. So you can keep what you got for yourself. But it wasn't, God didn't give it to you for you. God gave it to you for you to give it to the nations. Through obedient service and loyalty, for you to recognize, understand, and realize the Holy Ghost needs you, but He will to someone else. See, jump over a couple of chapters to 28, verse 26. It's going to surprise you how many times it says that there. It did me when I realized what God was trying to get me, because I don't hardly ever study these long-distance, mean, mad prophets like Ezekiel. God had me on this fellow for months, and I finally saw it. And what I see is God needs us to see He is being long-term, longevity patient with America. But it can come to an end. And He is right here, He's calling. You see, He's still calling. But the words are going to change in a minute. They're going to go to a demand. And then it's going to go from a demand to a requirement. You watch what it happens. And that's scary, y'all. It's because of the fear of the Lord that we persuade men. It's not out of a luxury. But what did you say that a while ago? Hardship, what was that term you used? You get a lot of bucks because of the hardships. What is that you said? Hardship. Hardship case. Place to work. That is from hell, that kind of thing. There ain't no place on the planet hard. They're all opportunities for faith, for God to move. It says in verse 26, Hogan, agua, por favorcito. Verse 26, He'll dwell, save the house of vengeance, execute and judgments and punishments. See there, it's always in there. The words here, now look at these words. That's come up. The despised words in verse 26, the trodden word. You see those words? We don't want that in our lives. We don't want that in our children, our grandchildren. We don't want that in things we're doing. We don't want the punishments and the judgments and executions of God's mercy. It's what we want. But look at the end of that verse. They shall know, understand, and realize that I am the Lord their God, the sovereign ruler, who calls forth what? Read it. It's up there, right? I'm surprised. It's 18 times. I already counted them. And we're only on 4. Keep going. I'm going to try to make it. Look at verse 6. Now he's done jumped from Moab to Tyre to Egypt. I mean, there's no one has the right. No nation, no people, no tongue has the right to raise up in power, to rise up in great honor and think that it was their hand that did it. It's the permission of the Holy Ghost. It's the sovereignty of God that's doing this. It's Ezekiel 29:6. And all the inhabitants of Egypt will know and understand and realize I am the Lord, the sovereign ruler who calls forth what? 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 Look at verse 9. Look at verse 9. The land of Egypt shall be what? Desolate. Waste. Is that what you're wanting? Really, really, really. Look, I'm you know, it's not thought of me this way, but I'm a super logical fella. I do realize that 1 and 1 is 2. And you're not going to escape certain laws. You get it? And I'm telling you, there's a law God set forth here by the mouth of Ezekiel that we're going to have to see. These nations, He put them in great power and splendor. He let them protect Israel. He let them, I'm telling you, God used these people as a defense. And Israel turned to them as their source. Heaven is our source. No amount of bombs or money or political prowess or intellect, those things are awesome. But they are not our leaders. God, the sovereign Lord, is our power. Verse 9, they'll know and understand and realize the sovereign leader who calls forth what? Loyalty, obedient service. Look what the problem was. It keeps saying it at the end of that one. This has got a problem. Egypt had a problem. You river soaking people? Hey? Hey, river soakers. Hey, river soakers, read that last phrase. That's what Egypt thought. But it's not yours. You don't own the river. You are privileged if you are in it. But you don't own it. It's mercy. I'm full of fire. I've had fire on me for years. But I know every morning where my source of fire is. I go to the furnace of the Holy Ghost. And I throw open the doors of the furnace of God. And I stick my head in there. And breathe! I know the source of my power. Holy Ghost! Ah! Let me give you something to think about, my brother. What was your name? I forgot. Brother Ron. I was out in them woods one time and they come in yonder with that, what's that, cuerno de chivo, what do you call that in English? AR-15. And I mean, that thing was in my face and it's irritating. I doubt if this was in class, but let me just give it to you. Give you a class. You take it by the barrel and you stick it in your mouth and you tell that devil on the other end, if your God's got the power, pull the trigger. Now the rest of these folks over here that scared them, but you listen to me, ain't nothing to be afraid of, my brother. Because they God can't do it. My God made the river. Now there's a change taking place, number seven. You notice this is the seventh time. Y'all know about numbers, right? This is the seventh time this is mentioned. You look at verse 16. In the same chapter, verse 16 in the Amplified. Look what the wording is at the end. It says, their iniquity will be brought to remembrance whenever Israel looks toward them for help. Hello? You don't look to any rabble for help. You bow to the great Holy Ghost. And you're going to get beat up. But you're not going to move out of that gap. Because you know the difference in the sacred and the secular. Because you're loyal. And you're obedient in service to the Holy Ghost. Now God changed the word in here a little bit. Look at this. They shall know, understand, and realize that I am the Lord who what? Now things got a little bit more strict on us. You see that? He's calling us. But I'm telling you, house of God, you don't have the choice to say no. I apologize to you. Because y'all are people that like to decide. You get your committees together. And you do your little voting. There ain't no vote. There's a demand from the Holy Ghost. God's making a demand on us. What is the demand? It ain't not something we can't do. What is the demand? Wow. That there's number seven. Number eight, verse 21, same chapter. I want you to look at this. God gave power to Nebuchadnezzar to destroy Egypt because they looked to the river as their source instead of the Holy Ghost who had given them the river. You better listen to what I'm telling you. I'll go into lots of churches that are what they call in the river. And I'm in the river. I'm good. But the river is not the source. The river is given to us by the source to keep us full of His presence and power. The fire is awesome, but the fire is not the power. The fire is a response of the power. We can have it because of obedience and obedient service and loyalty. God's demanding. All right, verse 21, number 8. He's causing a horn to be raised up. Now, don't you look at verse 20. It says, and they did it for me. You see that? These enemies came on His people because they were not loyal. They didn't stick to the guns. They didn't stay with the sacred. They mixed the sacred and the secular. God can't live with that. We've got to be holy, pure before the gospel power. And He says right here, number 8, I am the Lord, the sovereign ruler who calls forth loyalty and obedience service. Turn the page, please. Verse 12, verse 19, and verse 25. That takes you right 9, 10, and 11. Look how many times He's saying this over and over. And the process of how many years this is, I don't rightly know yet, but I'll let you know one of these times. But it's a number of years. This man was prophesying and talking and trying to get people to listen to him, trying to cause them to repent and let the power of God flow like it wants to. It's a natural flow. Verse 12, I am the Lord. I, the Lord, ruler, calls forth loyalty and obedience, have spoken. 19. Then shall they know, understand, and realize, I am the Lord, sovereign ruler, calls forth loyalty and obedient service. 25. I have strengthened and hold up the arms of Babylon. Do you not think it's a sad day when Babylon's strength is greater than the people of God? That is a sad day, y'all. Please see it. You got to be wakened out of a slumber. You've got to wake up. Brother David, we're giving much as we can. We're doing good. I understand that. I've got all that. That's not my point. If you ever wake up out of the slumber and the compromise is really trying to choke you and strangle you everywhere you turn, you'll turn into power that can be unleashed on this nation that nobody can control. It's available. All right. 31, 32. Now here it got really strange, strict. Ezekiel 32, verse 15. Would y'all put that up there, please, in Amplified? Stay with me. Yes, good. When I make the land of Egypt desolate and the country is stripped and destitute. Y'all are blessed. This nation is not stripped and destitute. There's still patience. There's time. There is a calling. There's a calling going forth from the prophets. And God's I'm telling you the voice, there's a shofar blowing, calling to arm the people of God. Calling forth the Shekinah glory. Look what he says now, it changes again. This is number 12. Y'all that do numbers, this is number 12. Verse 15. Oh, smite all those that dwell in. They will know and understand and realize that I am the Lord, the sovereign ruler who requires. Do you see the progression? Calling, demanding, and requirement. I'm telling you, heaven's serious about it. You know too much. If there was some way for me to take the knowledge that you as born-again believers have, and put it in my work. Let's take the knowledge in this room right here, and we put it in just the churches that we got in Mexico. I could have Mexico before daylight. You're blessed. You know what's right. But you are refusing it. And I'm here to tell you to wake up. Realize. Acknowledge the great sovereign Lord, the ruler of all nations. What is he requiring of us? Read it, verse 15. Loyalty and obedient service, that's right. 33. No, it's not 33. Keep going. That's another something. Hold on. 34. Here we go. 35. Ah. Ezekiel 35. I want to talk to you. I really want to talk to you about this. Verse 4. I will lay your cities waste, and you shall be desolate. And you shall know and understand and realize that I am the Lord, the sovereign ruler, who calls forth what? What's he calling for? That's 13, 14, verse 9. What's he calling for? 14. 15, verse 12. 35:12, Ezekiel, what is he calling for? 16, verse 15. What's he calling for?
We must know, understand, and realize that I, the Lord, the sovereign ruler, calls forth loyalty and obedient service. I can't tell you how this is beating in me. This is, I'm alive. You hear me, Brother Jerry? I am alive. I'm alive! And I've got one purpose. It's considering me. Ezekiel's right. Ezekiel's right. And you're right. I've become possessed. I am. I'm possessed. Ezekiel 36, 11. Ezekiel 36, 11. See, here's God now returning it to its former state. Now, He's ready to bring back mercy and grace, see? Look at that verse. This is what you want. You want increase, and you want bountiful blessing, don't you? Why do you want it? I'm going to tell you why. The reason why this verse, in my opinion, is in there, is for you to hear it. You're not blessed because of your looks, your family values, or nothing else. You are blessed because of loyalty and obedient service. Somebody did something right that got God's attention that blessed this nation. And you're going to be a brat. And think you had a right. Do what you want to, bro. I'm going to bring on, bro. What? Come on, bro. Throw it down, bro. Throw it down. Bring it on. All right. Man, you crazy. Lost your mind? I'm not the one that lost my mind. Boom. That was 17. Look at verse 38. Like the flock of holy things for sacrifice. I tell you, God's raised you up for sacrifice, church. You pastors in here, you know me, you listen to me. I'm blessed by every one of you sitting in here. I know you. But I'm telling you, heaven's looking for sacrifice now. He's looking for loyalty and obedience. There is a harvest. And we can take it. I was sitting in a room in San Antonio with the guy from Pakistan the other day. And he said to me that it's possible that the anointing God has put in our ministry in Mexico could be a catalyst for the Muslim nations to bring power and revival. And it is possible. And so I said to him, I'll be there. So we're going in a few months. Like the flock of holy things for sacrifice, like the flock of Jerusalem in a solemn appointed feast, so shall the waste cities be filled with flocks of men. I tell you, heaven's calling forth the flocks of men. But are you going to be one of the receiving ones? Or you're going to be one of the wasted ones. It's not my decision. I've made mine. Ah! And they shall know
You know why they'll know and realize and understand that God is calling forth loyalty and obedience? Because we are going to know the difference between the sacred and the secular. And we're going to have stood in the gap long enough, they know who we are. Every time we did a conference in Europe, somebody was there from a different nation, Brother Rod. Mostly three or four nations. Having meetings with me and the team. We need you in our nation. We got 100 churches. We got 50 churches. Come! It is nothing to do with me and my mule riding skills. It's got one thing. It's only one thing of value that you can give God. Loyalty and obedient service. And if you don't heed His call, it'll destroy you. If you do heed His demand and requirement, it'll cause multiple blessings to come upon you and flocks of men to come to you. That's the thus saith the Holy Ghost. I'm right. I'm right. I heed the call. You guys that work with me, you might as well get over yourself. I'm going to show you what a soldier is. Now I'm going to share something with y'all that's very personal. Now you listen. I'm going to share something with you. And I'm going to because I want to. It's very emotional for the whole team that's with me. But see, there's a call on us. There's a demand on us. There's requirements put on us by the Holy Ghost. I don't have rights that other men have. There are preachers and apostles and pastors and teachers and ministries that have rights that I don't. I'm not angry. I tell my wife all the time, I don't agree with it, but I'm not angry about it. I just don't have the right. I can't change horses. I can't change visions and callings. I have a calling been placed on me, and it's serious, and I understand it now. I got it, okay? But there's something happened that we've gone through that I'm going to share with you tonight. And then something real serious happened to us just a few months ago. I'm going to try to get it out tomorrow night if I keep getting opportunity. But I got sick a couple of years ago. I know when I was here before, I didn't look up snuff to you. And even the time before that, I was battling, don't know what the name of it was. There were seven devils came, tried to kill me. And the diseases, they were very serious. And we went through a long period of time. These men that I work with have been very gracious with me. But I've been sick. I was sick. And I was going to church anyway, and I was holding heavy schedules anyhow. And the last March, or no, March 4 last, wasn't it? Not last March, the one before that. I didn't tell anybody. People that's close to me. I had changed. I couldn't function very good. But I was doing it anyway. And I was hurt, boy, inside. I was hurt real bad. My wife would cry and cry and cry. Beg and plead with me not to go, not to do, David. There's other people. You've raised them up. They'll do it. And it's true. It's true. But I got this opinion.
And that's what it is, an opinion. That I'm going to work to the end, and then I'm through. That's just the way it is. And one afternoon, I was there, I was sick. I couldn't hardly drive my truck. And I went out. Who all was on that horse trip with me? Raise up your hands. Stand up. How many of y'all was going on that horse trip with me in March? Stand on up. See those men right there? We were scheduled to go up in the mountain for 7 days. The young guys had to walk. I was riding a horse. This is the way it is. And I got out to my son's house out there in the mountain. Now, this is really amazing what I'm fixing to tell you. It ain't got nothing to do with that, about any of us being good. But it has to do with us being right. Are you listening to what I'm telling you? It's got to do with loyalty and obedient service. You understanding? And I went out there, and my wife begged me not to go. She was right, I shouldn't have gone. But then again, I don't know that. And I got out to my son's, I didn't feel good, I felt different. I was hurt inside. These organs weren't right. All of them. And I went to his place and I didn't say nothing and got all the horses. They're all shod and shot up and ready and everything's in order. All of two or three services a day are set up in the deep mountains and the whole thing, the whole expedition's in order. We're going to go get souls. We're going to challenge every devil out there. And we're going to defeat them in Jesus' name. But I personally am physically not able. But I never said a word. I kept my mouth shut to them. Not out of any kind of pride. Don't go there with me. I ain't gonna let you. It was obedience, not pride. It was loyalty to the calling, to the demand, to the requirement. That's what it was. Nothing else. It was simply nothing else. And I went there and we had this big church problem. There was a couple of churches splitting out there over like y'all always do, trivial. So somebody wanted pink carpet and it turned out purple and now everybody's mad. I mean, what? I mean, God. Jeez, man, please. Worlds, billions of people going to hell. Anyway. I went out there and I was there from the beginning and all both sides loved me as a father. And so I went out there and I sit and I listened to all the arguments. Then I read a couple of verses and then it hit me. Here we go. Now, I'm fixing to explain something to you that's going to take y'all's pastors to figure it out. But I am not going to take any Bible verses from you. I'm not going to take anything on the internet, no letters. Forget it. I ain't taking it. Anyways, the problem was solved and for the very first time in my life, I couldn't eat the beans and rice. And my now son-in-law was standing there. I said, "You got to eat that for me." And everybody was shocked because I'm a soldier. I'm under orders. I've been called up. I've been demanded. I've got requirements on me, and they're fulfilled. I'll do it to the end. Simple, see? Easy. He did it. Didn't say a word. He did what I asked him. Gone. I got in a truck. My son's filling me in on all these problems going on in the work. Catching me up. Because we're going to be around all these people in the next few days. Catching me up. Finally, I told him, "Jody, hush, son. Hush." He just looked at me. Because I always want to know. I'm interested in helping, you see. It's one of my requirements. I said, "The Holy Ghost, now watch what I'm fixing to tell you. The Holy Ghost just moved the hedge of protection. I'm a dead man, son. I'm riding in his truck, I'm in one of my favorite spots in the work. It's one of the hardest places to work we got. The biggest demons are there, and I know them. I know them all. And he started immediately praying. I just, shh, shh, shh. He started quoting verses to me that I've quoted to him since he could hear me. I said, "It's over, little brother." They got me. I'm standing, Brother Ross, on the battlefield. No protection. God moved my protection. And the demon hit me. And he got serious. It was bad. It was really bad. I started my physical, what was left of my energy, I lost it all. I spiraled out. I went away. My son was laying hands on me and got me home. Miss Judy was there. She's a RA, a registered nurse, and she was, you know, she was really afraid. And they all come in there, and what was the name of that that looked like? Excuse me? Yeah. Yeah, it was bad, let me tell you. I called my kids in there. My son Jody was there. My daughter Joy, Sean, Jay, these guys were there. And I'm laying there jerking, dying. I'm dying. I don't look dead now, though, do I? You shouldn't have prayed me back. You had your chance. You blew it. I told them, don't you? You better pray I don't give them back. Because I'm going to show you how to worship God if I ever come back. I didn't come back, my brother. You know what? You know what was important to me at the end? Give me some opinions. What do y'all think? Wild and nutty as I am, what to you do you think would be important to me? Souls. Family. Who said why? Yeah. I knew I was going to die. And I grabbed my son, my oldest boy. Stand up, boy. Show him who you are. There he is. And I told him, I'm going to die. You ain't never thought I'd ever say that, Dad. I'm going to tell you what, without God, you a dead man. And I felt it. When he let him have me, Brother Rod. Let me tell you something about the God. See, when you're loyal and obedient service, and you know the difference between the sacred and the secular, and you've been standing in the gap your whole life, and you're not afraid. God knows that. God knows it. And it don't matter if you stand on the battlefield and you clean naked. It don't matter. There ain't nothing I had. I had no armaments. I was run through with hundreds of demon swords. I'm telling you, I felt them. And I looked up at heaven and said, I love you, Jesus. And I told my son, you're going in my place. I got one thing left to do, and I hope I get home to do it. You know what I wanted to do, Brother Rod? I wanted to tell Ms. Hogan, thank you for being such a good wife. That's all. That's the only thing that mattered to me. Thank you for following me around the planet, taking care of me. That's what you're supposed to do. And I started out that I got my son-in-law, Sean, and my daughter, Joy, were in the cab, and they were driving my truck, and I was jerking. See? And then I died. I died. I'm sorry. I didn't make it. Sean and Joy, y'all stand up, you two. Don't be embarrassed. Stand up. There they are. See my kids there? They started praying for me, and then way off in the distance, I heard Sean. I heard him like he was way off down the road down there.
And then I look up, and there he is, standing there looking at me. He called me back, you see. See? What do your kids do? What have you trained yours to do? The people around you. If something like this happens to you, what's going to happen? What have you trained them? You trained them how to be loyal? You trained them how to be obedient regardless of the external or the circumstances? Hello? Jesus. Jesus. When I was this stuff was coming out of my mouth, I'll tell you, this, but your body is nasty. I don't know all them different colored things that's coming out of me. We got, I don't know how it happened, Ms. Hogan called in or Sean called, I don't know. But anyway, he told him we was coming and got down the road a little ways further and I went, this time I left solid. Well, let me tell y'all something, all right? You know, I come here and I throw down with you and I throw pretty heavy guns on y'all. Yeah, I pop pretty good here. Well, let me tell you what happens at the end. It's true, Steve. For the first time in my life ever, I found peace, my brother. It was good. And I just went into it. It was Jesus, you see. And then, I don't know, I guess it's close to an hour or something. My two kids, they were calling. I heard them talking, calling, Daddy, Jesus' name, come back. And then by that time, I had lost my hearing, my sight. I couldn't hardly hear. Just one ear, it was about just a few percentages. He was screaming, he said. That's barely a whisper is what I was getting. And then he took off, and he went through the soldiers. We had checkpoints to do. Y'all know the mission field, understand. We had to go through these things anyway. And then the next thing I feel and smell was that woman. I know that touch, you see. I couldn't see her, couldn't hear her, but my body was in trauma. And they had called me back twice on that road. And I'm going to tell you why you need to be loyal and obedient. So that the day comes, because it's coming. It's coming. It's coming. You need to have soldiers around you. And you need to have the trust of heaven in your hip pocket. Because when I touched that lady, I latched on to her and I was holding her. She ain't never heard these words out of my mouth ever. I told her, I ain't going to make it this time. But I just want to tell you thank you. Isn't that nice? Nothing. You know what her response was? Get him up to my room! He ain't going anywhere! So they snapped too, pulled me up to that room, and I guess for the next few hours we had quite a battle. What does that verse say about joy in the morning time? Daylight broke and I was alive. I was sitting in a rocking chair, couldn't move. I was weak, but I made the night. Every one of my defenses were gone except for trust. See, if you don't understand obedience and loyalty, you don't understand trust. Heaven spared me because I trusted. I went to some services about 6-7 days later. I was so weak, they had to carry me out there. And I got my Indian elders together in a room, and I said, all right, fellas, here's the problem. They said, excuse me, Brother David. There ain't no problem. God spoke to every one of them individually. All the elders. God spoke to all of them individually. You have raised us up. We are your sons of faith. We are going to do your job. You are indefinitely suspended. till heaven brings you back to us. And see, Ms. Hogan told me, that's what I want. I want you to take some time off and recover. And I said, nothing doing. But then I went out there and one of our prophets spoke to me. The exact words that came out of her mouth came out of his mouth. And then it came out of 10 directors' mouths. So you know what I said? So the hardest thing I did in my life was took the month of April off last year and watched them church, them trucks go to church without me in one of them. And I couldn't do nothing about it. I couldn't even walk to the truck, much less drive the thing. And then we had a whole month of May of fasting. And Ms. Hogan tells me, you're not going to do that. I said, I am going to do that. You physically can't. I said, then I'm at the end. Because I will seek heaven until the day I die. And she said, all right, but you can't be alone because I have this thing I do. I lock myself away and stay with Jesus. So she says, I'm in that room this time. I said, that's fine. But we're going to sit there and just look at each other until Jesus shows up. She said, that's okay. I'm going to keep looking. First day of the fast, second day, third day, no eat. I wouldn't drink, eat nothing. I was the weakest I've ever been in my life. Brother David, you're out of your mind. No, I'm not out of my mind. I'm obedient. I'm loyal. No, you're not. You're an extremist. No, an extremist are sissies. You got to come up with some new words, honey. We're off the chart, all of them. We're going to stay there. Four, five, 6 days. No liquids, nothing. Day seven, I woke up, got up off my side of the bed, looked over there. Hey, woman, wake up. What's the matter? I'm healed. Are you looking at me healed? You see me healed? You go on. We're not desolate. We're not destitute. We're not defeated. We are bringing flocks of men to the holy things of God because of the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost! One of these days you're going to need that Holy Ghost. And if you're not loyal and obedient service person, you're not going to get Him. And it's not my fault. I am not angry with you. I am healed. I am blessed. You feel the energy. I know you do. Holy! Jesus healed me again. Well, how many times? Who cares, man? Let me enjoy this one! One of these times I'm not going to make it. See ya! Last thing, let's pray. Y'all will stand up while I read this to you. Like the flock of holy things for sacrifice, like the flock of Jerusalem in her solemn appointed feast, so shall the waste cities be filled with flocks of men. And they shall know, understand, and realize that I am the Lord, the sovereign ruler who calls forth loyalty and obedient service. Tonight, that's what we're going to do. I need y'all on these pianos and stuff with some kind of good stuff. I don't know what kind of stuff. Some kind of tunes is all right.